Eagle 98.1, The Rock Station. This is Rock at Work. I'm Chuck P. This Saturday, July 29th, over at the LeBarge Casino here in Baton Rouge, Killer Queen, a Queen tribute band, will be performing. The band has garnered amazing reviews from all over the world, with a lot of people proclaiming them as the best Queen tribute band around. And right now, I am honored to have on the phone with me Patrick Myers, lead singer of Killer Queen. Patrick, thanks for taking some time to talk with me today.
Hey, it's a pleasure. I'm looking forward to the show.
So you're five shows into this new tour right now. How's it going so far?
It's been going great. We sold out Red Rocks again, which was brilliant fun.
Wow.
And that's a sort of like 9,000 plus people there all just going crazy for Queen, which is, have you ever been there as a venue?
That is a bucket list for me.
Oh, you've got to go. It's amazing. It's such an electric atmosphere up there. And to perform in front of a sold-out crowd there, which we've done a few times now, is just every single time we do it, it completely blows us away, because it's just such an amazing roar from that crowd. And they just look, it looks like an endless sea of people, the way they've got those seats all stacked up and rising high into the sky. It's amazing. It's a definite must. And so many people have played there. The Beatles played there.
Right.
U2 have played there. I mean, so many people have, you know, played there. It's a real honor to go there every year.
It definitely is a legendary venue. Like you said, lots of great acts have played there. Let's take a minute, and I want to talk about the beginnings of Killer Queen. Obviously, Queen, the main inspiration behind the whole thing. Tell me about the early beginnings of the band and the reason for wanting to do a tribute band in the first place for Queen.
Well, what happened was, we started before there were tributes, and it happened kind of organically. What happened was, I'd left home. Queen had just released one of their best albums, I thought, called Innuendo, which I thought was a
great
stunning album with some just extraordinary, some of their like career highlight tracks on, you know. I couldn't believe how strong everything was on that album. So I bounced into a halls of residence, saying hello to all the new people there and saying, what music do you like? And a lot of people said Queen. In fact, everyone seemed to say Queen, and Bowie, and, you know, and a whole host of other people, like, you know, Nirvana and the Pixies and all that sort of stuff, which were all big at the time. So, yeah, and that was it. We got to know each other through music. But then we got the terrible news that Freddie was ill and then had died, which totally took my legs out from underneath me. I just couldn't get my head around it at all.
Right.
We were all in total shock. We'd already been showing each other how to play songs that we liked. You know, how does that one go? Because there was this old battered piano in the laundry room that we all used to congregate in. And while we were waiting for the machine to finish its cycles, we'd be showing each other songs. So we'd already sort of started sort of learning the set.
Right.
just anyway, because that's what we did, because of that one piano, you know. And then that sometimes extended to, we had music, you know, so we brought instruments with us and you know, to our rooms, and we'd sort of like transfer from the piano down there in the laundry room to our rooms and carry on where we'd left off and all that sort of stuff. And it was just fun. But after Freddie died, we played those songs more and more and more. Suddenly it became an idea. I realized when I was messing around in the mirror one day that if I pulled a certain face and brought my brow down, I could look like Freddie too. So I suddenly thought, well, we could maybe do this thing called a tribute, which had just started. There was one band called Bjorn Again, who people have been dressing up as Elvis for years, but there hadn't really been called a tribute band, you know, where the whole band dressed up as them and pretended to be them on stage and pretended to redo a whole concert. That was kind of new. And the Elvis thing never really took off in England as like it did in America. So as far as we were concerned, Bjorn Again doing ABBA was the only thing called a tribute. And we thought, well, let's make a Queen version of that, do it our way, and see if that works, because we'd all missed out on seeing Queen live. We were just a bit too young, so we thought we wanted that Queen experience, that rush, you know, of being in the crowd with your hand in the air. And we thought, well, the next best thing to being in the crowd is being on stage and doing it, because no one else seemed to be doing it. Of course, these days everybody seems to be doing it.
Right.
You know, there's tributes everywhere, but there wasn't anyone. So if we didn't do it, it felt like it would never get done. So we went and did it. I was training in acting as well. I'd been in bands before, and I'd played in front of, you know, big crowds before, and I'd also trained in acting. So all these things, and I'd done some vocal work, and I'd studied movement, and so at the National Youth Theatre and things. So all these things seem to help make the sort of the impossible jigsaw fall into place. And we did that first show in front of 1,000 students, and we blew the roof off the place. We couldn't believe it, because we were so nervous. We didn't know whether this was acceptable or not, you know. It was in 1993, so 30 years ago this year. So, yeah, and it just took off like a rocket after that. And we were just suddenly from having just this one show, we suddenly had a tour within a couple of weeks of the whole country. And then we started getting offers from the West End, which is like Broadway over there in England. And then started winning awards, and the awards led us into Europe, and Europe started getting bigger. And then the big venues got in touch with us and said, look, Queen used to play here back in the day. Do you fancy being the band that plays here? And we went, well, yes, we do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. We're not going to say no to that. And suddenly we were playing on the same stages that Queen played. And then things like Red Rocks, you know, and America and Austin City Limits and beautiful venues like that. And we started selling those out as well. So, you know, it's been quite an experience, you know, considering we started off washing our trousers and pants in a laundry room and singing songs.
That's a very unique start to a band.
That was like our Hamburg days for the Beatles.
Yes.
You know, the laundry room days.
There you go. Talking with Patrick Myers here from the band Killer Queen. They're playing this Saturday, July 29th at the LeBaris Casino here in Baton Rouge. So with Queen's extensive catalog, how do you guys even begin to put a set list together for a show?
Like any show, really, you want to make the structure of it so the dynamics flow in a kind of way. So you start big, you start, you know, loud, and then you do a few songs like that, and then you calm it down a little bit and then build it up again. So you choose the songs by the dynamics of the song, really. And then towards the middle of the set, you can put some deep cuts in, a third of the way through the set, you can slip a deep cut in that you want to do and change it up a little bit, and then go back into, you know, playing your aces from the top again with some of the greatest hits.
What did the success of the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, how did that affect you guys as a band? Like, how did you approach things after that?
Well, what we noticed was that the audience suddenly got a lot younger.
Yeah.
After that. But having said that, there were always families that came to see the show, and there were always kids in the audience, and the kids always knew, because people seem to discover Queen when they're about between the ages of 10 and 13 or 14. That seems to be the sort of the age range that sort of like stumbles onto Queen, and how that happens, I don't know, you know, YouTube or Spotify or whatever, you know, but they discover it and they really want it. So there'd always be a proportion of kids in the audience that was really excited and it was their first ever gig, and we'd hear about that from the parents. But that proportion just swelled enormously.
Patrick, I got one more question for you before I let you go. And this is just something that popped into my head when I was preparing for this interview. I wanted to ask you, like, just this hypothetical question. If you happened to walk into a pub one day and you saw Brian May and Roger Taylor sitting at the bar, what would you do?
I've thought about that so often. I've often thought about, you know, if I walked into a little bar somewhere in Norway and there's Roger Taylor, he's having a little quiet pint somewhere. Or you know, I saw Brian at one of his sort of stereoscopy kind of lectures or, you know, or book signings. What would I do? I would probably be a bit tongue-tied.
Oh, for sure.
And I think I'd just go up and say thanks. You know, I don't think I'd say who I was or say, look, I've done a tribute all these years. I just want to know that I've said thank you to them, because they were like a rainbow, you know, in my childhood, like the most beautiful, colourful, exciting thing musically for me to discover. And the idea that it's become something that become a whole career for me is just mind blowing to me to this day. But essentially, I want to thank them for the music. I know it sounds old hat, and it sounds like, you know, what everyone would say, but I'm at the end of the day, that's me. I'm a fan, and I want to say thank you, you know.
The band is Killer Queen. They're playing at LeBaris Casino Saturday, July 29th here in Baton Rouge. Patrick Myers, thank you so much for talking with me today. This has been an incredible interview, and looking forward to seeing you guys live this weekend at the LeBaris Casino.
Hey, it's been fun.